Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Bread of Life, Faith and Works Community Church Lecture Series, hosted by Pastor David Allman. Excuse me. It is a beautiful spring day. Sun is shining. We're finally going to get some good warm weather. Looking forward to the beauty of coming to summer. In the meantime, we have a lot to cover today. Let's get into the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we call upon you to move upon us in this time. We ask you to forgive each one of us of our sins and wash us and cleanse us in the precious blood of Jesus. We ask you, Lord God, to move in a mighty way, anoint us and empower us through the name and the blood of Jesus and the moving of your Spirit, that you would fill us with your knowledge and wisdom and your presence and guide us into all things that you have proclamated to each one of us to walk therein. Now, by the authority given to each one of us in the name of Jesus, we bind every unclean spirit and every part of the kingdom of darkness from this time and get under our feet. You have no authority in this time, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, have your way and fill this with the glory of the Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me. We finished last week with verse 20 of chapter 12 in the book of Mishle, the book of Proverbs. We are picking up in the Hebrew translation, verse 21, chapter 12 in the book of Mishle. No iniquity will befall the righteous person, but the wicked are filled with evil. There are four different categories: sins, transgressions, iniquities, and abominations. No iniquity will befall the righteous person, but the wicked are filled with evil. Iniquity is equated, as well as transgressions, with those who are saints of God. Sins are more equated to the lost. Abominations goes both directions, because even saints can commit abominations. In essence, the word sin in the Greek, harmatia, it is the same principle, whether it's sins, transgressions, iniquities, or abominations, you missed the mark. In other words, you weren't fully compliant and obedient to a particular commandment of God. You missed the mark. But here it says, no iniquity will befall the righteous person. Here is a person, a saint of God, one who is born again, who truly has learned to walk according to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 and 2, to not walk according to the flesh, rather to walk according to the Spirit. Now, if we're walking according to the Spirit, we're going to envelop what I call the nine dynamic aspects of the fruit of the Spirit that is found in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23. In essence, one who is righteous, or in other words, one who has been made righteous by Jesus, because our righteousness is enveloped in Jesus, it is difficult for iniquity to be found in that type of person. It is truly feasible and plausible for someone to not sin daily or fall into transgressions, iniquities, or abominations. But we find here that the wicked are filled with evil. Every lost soul is considered part of the wicked. The day that we make Jesus our Savior and Redeemer, we have crossed over from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, and we've come to the place where the righteousness of Jesus is imputed or placed upon us, and now we are righteous. In Christ, in Jesus, we are righteous. Without Jesus, there is no righteousness. Filled with evil. Even the most goody-two-shoes, an old cliche, an old good cliche, goody-two-shoes, one who is so filled with everything that is good, it is difficult to find evil in that person. There is still evil prevalent and relevant in that person. You may not see it outwardly, but if you could take and dig into the very thoughts and intents of their heart, they may not express things outwardly, but inwardly, they could be a murderer, a thief, or any evil commentary. We're going to look at Rabbi Melbourne. Rabbi Melbourne notes that the particular word in the Hebrew that represents iniquity implies something that happened as a result of a previous act. This follows the principle that one good deed leads to another, and one bad deed leads to another. So that a previously committed sin often becomes the trigger for the next sin. In the normal course of events, this means simply that one who develops the habit of doing good will continue to do good and vice versa. Therefore, those who follow the path of righteousness will not sin, even inadvertently, in the deepest sense. One who is zealous about acting righteously earns as his reward that God assists him or her in avoiding sin in the future, quote unquote. I will agree for most of what he has said. Doing good will precipitate doing more good. Doing evil will precipitate doing more evil. But I still say that from all the things that I've learned, that even the one that is the most good still has things going on inside them that ought not to be. They have not renewed or allowed the Word of God to transform their mind and heart. And we find the renewing of the mind by the Word of God in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. But those who precipitate to do evil generally will do more evil. But righteousness is something that in of ourselves is as filthy rags, but through Jesus, as it is placed and imputed upon us, then we find that we are truly righteous, but only through Jesus. Our next quote on this verse comes from Rabbi Yonah. God protects the righteous from mistakes, helps them overpower their evil inclination. A person must restrain himself or herself from sinning once and then a second time, but then from then on, God will protect him or her from sinning and also states, that Rabbi Yonah says the Talmud, the oral law, that once a person has committed a sin and they repeat it a second time, he begins to regard it as a permissible act. Thus, the wicked continuously sin with no scruples of conscience to stop them. It is very interesting that we find here the realm and depths of continual sin. Now, we could reference this to the book of 1 John. In the book of 1 John, there is a little bit of controversy in the wording of particular words and phrases, but in essence, it says that one who is of Christ cannot sin. The Greek endings gives the actual aspect that the person does not practice sin. So here, if we look at what Rabbi Yonah is saying, we have one who does not practice sin and restrains themselves, and God helps them to continue that restraint from sinning, versus one who allows themselves to walk in continual sin. So one is not practicing sin while the other is practicing sin. So the wicked enjoy the way of practicing sin. And I might add that by my own experience in my BC days, that I sure did enjoy doing a lot of those sins. But now, if I were to go back to that lifestyle, I would be miserable. When one has tasted the ways of God and have learned to walk in the freedom in Jesus Christ, one who has learned not to practice sin, there is real peace, real joy, real love, and in the realm of peace, one's soul is not left in a turmoil of emotions. In righteousness, there's no guilt, no shame. In Jesus Christ, no guilt, no shame. But if one walks continually in these things and practice it, practicing sin, it is like the dentist who uses Novocaine. It numbs you. Come numb to the very sins that you're doing, and eventually you don't even think twice about it, you just do it. You're numb to it. Let's move on to verse 22. False lips are an abomination to Hashem, but those who act in faith are his desire. False lips also is equated to the one who speaks with the tongue lies, deceit, slander, gossip. Gossip will take a little bit of truth and add a bunch of lies to it. That's true gossip. But those who act in faith capture the desire of God. We have to go to Hebrews chapter 11. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So in the realm of the act of faith, or acting in faith, practicing faith, walking in faith, developing faith, it is God's desire. For in the realm of faith, we can walk in the realm of the shalom. Now, it's translated peace, but in the fullness of its meaning, it encompasses all that salvation has. Simply put, nothing missing, nothing broken in one's life. That means you're walking in spiritual maturity. You're walking in mental, emotional, and physical wholeness and wellness. You're walking in material and financial prosperity. It means that in every facet and aspect of your life, you are prospering and prospering and prospering. And prospering just does not mean financial. It encompasses all of your life. Now, our first quote is a combination from Rabbi Metzudos and Rabbi Ibn Ezra. The false lips that are an abomination to Hashem refer to one whose lips speak lies, or one who is a false witness. Pretty self-explanatory. But furthermore, and Rabbi Yonah says, Talmud declares it as a group of liars, as one of the four groups that will not merit being in God's presence in the world to come. Now, in the world to come, or the new heavens and the new earth, we can reference in the book of Revelation, in chapter 22, it specifically states that no liars or sexually immoral, and a couple other things, will not be able to be a part of the New Jerusalem within the new heavens and the new earth. So Rabbi Yonah, although he is not a Christian when he was alive, has insight into the realm that liars will not have a part in the new heavens and the new earth. Therefore, we need to curtail our lips from walking in the way of being false and walk in the way of acting in faith, speaking truth, speaking life rather than death, and then we will enter into the realm of the desire of God. For it's His heart's desire, God's heart's desire, that we walk and act in faith. Verse 23. A clever person conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. Very interesting wording here, a clever person. You would think a clever person is kind of equated to someone who is mischievous. For in their mischievousness, they're clever in the way that they do things. But here, a clever person conceals knowledge. Why would a clever person want to conceal knowledge? Very simply, knowledge in the hand of a fool is worthless. Knowledge in the hand of one who is wise in their cleverness will hide knowledge from the fool in order to get the fool from becoming more foolish. But the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. Now we've gone over the simpleton, the scorner, and the other types of fools. Excuse me. The heart of fools proclaim foolishness because they do not want to subject themselves to the very essence of living out the ways of the kingdom of God in their life. Now, the most common fool, the simpleton, has a desire to do what is right in the Word of God, but rather than really doing what is right, they speak and proclaim foolishness. I remember early in my walk, I was a simpleton in the realm of every time going into backslidings, because I enjoyed certain types of sin. And I wanted to have those things in my life. As a simpleton, I didn't want to study certain things in the Word of God, keeping myself and proclaiming foolishness. But once I decided I had enough, and I said, okay, God, have your way with my life. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of all of the foolishness. God began to set me free. He placed clever persons in my life who taught me the reality and the truth of the Word of God. We have several quotes. We're going to start with Rabbi Rashi. A wise person is discreet even about his or her wisdom, so he or she certainly will conceal foolish things. Yet, however, a fool loudly proclaims their foolishness. So we find that if we are truly a wise person, in our discreetness, we will hold our tongue and conceal the wisdom of God from the fool who wants to loudly proclaim their foolishness. Now, it's very interesting in these aspects because of the very fact that this is prevalent to every church that I know. In every single church that I've ever been to, you have those that are wise, and you have those that are the fools. And as you rub shoulders with the people in that church, you begin to see who's wise and who's a fool. But we also must remember in the word fool, we have to look at the four classifications of the fool to see which one that they are. For there are some fools that you can work with and get them out of their foolishness, while other fools will dig in deeper and get more foolish. So not all fools are a lost cause. Moving on to the next quote, Rabbi Yonah. He says that the modesty of the righteous causes them to conceal good deeds that could be a source of pride and honor to them. This is in line with the verse, "And walk humbly with your God," Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Now, Rabbi Yonah has a very interesting statement here about modesty. The modesty of the righteous causes them to conceal good deeds. We have several people in our congregation who fit this. In their modesty, they enjoy concealing the good deeds in the church. And yet in that concealment, when they're exposed, they still remain humble of heart. And I can name at least three people, but I will not embellish saying their names because of the fact that they would rather stay incognito. Some of you listening to this may already know who they are. Our next quote is Rabbi Meiri. He says that this verse teaches a person not to be hasty in putting thought into action. A person must patiently and deliberately analyze his or her thoughts until he or she has refined them and only then act upon them. A wise man or woman conceals even thoughts based on knowledge and not motivated by anger or revenge until they are completely refined. A fool, on the other hand, announces what is on his mind, even if it is foolish and not thought through, he or she immediately verbalizes it, plans to execute it. This is a very interesting thing. A wise person will even conceal their thoughts. There's a number of people where you can read their thoughts right up on their facial expression to make one's face in such a way that your thoughts cannot be read. On the other hand, a fool will verbalize their foolishness, their intentions. They'll verbalize anything and everything, and generally it's to put themselves in the forefront above everybody else. Now, Rabbi Melbaum says that there's a difference between the two kinds of fools. One is skeptical about wisdom and questions its validity and does not believe in it because he or she does not understand it. On the other hand, the other type of fool is one who knows the correctness of true wisdom but forsakes it because of the persuasions and temptations of his or her evil inclination. He or she knows that it is wrong and even fears punishment. Yet, in order to rationalize and defend his or her misdeeds, he or she will proclaim skepticism. That is, he or she uses skepticism to camouflage his or her evil, casting doubt on the validity of wisdom in order to excuse his or her own wickedness. There's a lot of skepticism going on today in the church concerning the LGBT movement, the homosexuals, the transgenders, the pedophiles. There is skepticism going on in the church today. We have churches that accept them full-heartedly and won't call it what God calls it, sin. So, one who is working in the realm of this type of fool is camouflaging the evil to cast doubt on the validity of true wisdom. The true wisdom and knowledge of God says the LGBT movement is sin. But they want to classify it as an alternate lifestyle. But God calls what it is, sin. So we must understand that what Rabbi Melbaum is saying here is that the fool desires to turn around and make everything so skeptical to validate their sinful ways, take away the validity of the truth. Verse 24, the hand of the diligent will rule, but deceit will melt. The hand of the diligent will rule. I don't know of anyone who is lazy and made supervisor, made up into the higher echelons of business and being a VP or becoming even a CEO of their own business. There's no one that I know who is not diligent. We could add the word diligent in here as well. Because diligence and vigilance goes hand in hand. The hand of the diligent will rule. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you truly want to get out of where you are, You must be diligent. You must be diligent in all that you are, especially coming into spiritual maturity, because God will reward that, and eventually you will become head over other people. Now, don't do it in pride. Do it in humbleness of heart, with humility in the realm of the nine dynamic aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, and get that pride out of there, and you can move forward. But deceit will melt. I wondered about the word melt. And then comes to my mind a cartoon that I used to watch when I was a child. Frosty the Snowman. Now, Frosty the Snowman wanted to remain through the summer. But the minute as the deceit was there, he began to melt. Someone who needs to be in a place of where they've been called to, it is hard to walk in deceit, but a deceitful person will melt. In other words, their deceitfulness will be exposed. In the realm of deceit and melt, and in the response of Frosty the Snowman and melting, it is an exposure to that deceitfulness. Your tongue of deceit will expose itself, and you will begin to melt in that deceit. You cannot get away with deceit. You cannot get away with deceit in the realm of trying to pull something over someone else's eyes. You will be exposed. Our first quote will come from Rabbi Melbum, as well as our last quote. Rabbi Melbum says that the term for diligent implies both diligence and scrupulousness. That's a big word, scrupulousness. Such a person is neither lazy nor deceitful. He or she does not aim for instant riches, but tries to accumulate wealth gradually. Through his or her industriousness, and thereby become very powerful. J.C. Penney. The Hiltons with Hilton Hotels. Sears and Roebuck. Walmart. And a host of many others we could name. And we can find that their industriousness, their diligence, their vigilance, they became powerful in this country. The Kennedys at one time were extremely powerful in this country. There are others that we could name. Powerful people. They became powerful through their vigilance and diligence. some came to power by wicked means and they paid for it. Others came to power in the righteousness through Jesus Christ. J.C. Penney became a great and wealthy man, and then the stock market crash of 1929 came, and he became penniless, a pauper, and through Great Depression was brought out of it by the help of someone else, got saved, and realized that he needed to tithe. He was tithing 10% of J.C. Penney's profits. Everything that came in, J.C. Penney tithed. Before he died, there was a J.C. Penney store in every single state in the U.S. He learned the way of God and the way of being diligent in the hand of God, and he began to rule in the realm of his business in a way in which God blessed him beyond measure. But it takes, first and foremost, obedience. Obedience. Now let's take a look at Rabbi's other Melvin's other quote. But deceit will melt. The traits of a deceitful people are the exact opposite of those of the diligent. Instead of working, they are lazy and depend on their deceit to provide them with a living. Excuse me. Rather than being upright and just, they are deceptive. They will end up being subservient to the diligent who have become wealthy and powerful like servants who pay tribute to their masters. Excuse me. There are many cases where deceitful people ended up serving, in the end, someone else. I look at the story of Joseph. His brothers were deceitful. In the end, they ended up, by their deceitfulness, being slaves to Egypt. I look at this as a consequence of their deceitfulness. Now, God showed Abraham, that one day his descendants would be servants to a hard taskmaster, and that taskmaster would let them go eventually after 400 years. Read the story in the book of Genesis. This is relevant to today because there are many stories out there. We don't have time right now to actually get into it, but I wanted to reveal to you the realm of Scripture and how Scripture shows that this verse operates. Deceitfulness will cause you to be an enslavement to someone else. 25 is very lengthy, I really do not want to get into verse 25 today because it's very, very lengthy. We should be able to finish the last four verses next time. So that's where we will stop today, is at verse 24, picking up with verse 25 next week. Now, as an announcement, tentatively, I was looking at transferring in my secular job from the night shift to the day shift this next Monday. Well, I've been informed today that that's going to take place either the beginning of our work schedule, which is Friday, the 27th, or Monday, Labor Day, Memorial Day, Monday, Memorial Day. So either one of those 2 days, they have a person that's going to be taking my position on the night shift while I'm moving to the first shift in my secular job. So therefore, it looks like starting Tuesday, the 31st of May, will be our new day for our lecture series. And our lecture series will be from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., Blog Talk Radio only. So again, as it's been in the past, Blog Talk Radio only, and up to the very present, it will still continue, but rather than Thursdays, it will be Tuesdays, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. in the evening, because I will be at work during the day. So that's our tentative date, is Tuesday the 31st. Since today is the 19th, I will confirm that next week at our regular scheduled time, Thursday at 10:30 a.m. Next week, regular scheduled time, Thursday, 10:30 a.m., and also confirm the actual date of changing to Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Also, remember to not forget the Assembling of the Saints gathered together this Sunday to worship God together and to hear the preaching and teaching of God's Word. Let's close with a word of Heavenly Father. We ask you to seal these words upon our heart. Help us, Heavenly Father, through your Spirit, and within the realms of your grace to empower us through the name of Jesus to apply what we've learned today into our lives, that we will be faithful and diligent and vigilant disciples of you, Jesus, that we will walk in the realm of the righteousness that you have imputed upon our lives through Jesus, and that we will honor you with our lives and glorify you within our lives. May you have your way with each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, all I have to say to close out is live holy as God is holy, fear God, be obsessed and passionate for God, and be blessed and be a blessing to everyone. Until next week, Thursday, 10:30 a.m., God bless you all.